You've heard the headlines. Get some perspective now with Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Hey, and a good morning to you. A happy Thursday. We're going to go ahead and jump right into the show with the breaking news coming out of Washington, D.C. The North Korea summit is off.
The Lead. Brought to you by Burge Ford off the U.S. 60 and Mesa Drive.
Okay, just moments ago, President Donald Trump stepped to a podium at the White House and said this.
Based on the recent statement of North Korea, I have decided to terminate the planned summit in Singapore on June 12th.
Okay, earlier this morning, the North Korean Vice President of Foreign Affairs slammed Vice President Pence as a political dummy. Let's get you some perspective as to how we just got to this point.
You know, I mean, I think there's plenty of people out there, and you can do the I told you so part, that never thought this was going to happen, that this was all part of a pattern. This is not to blame President Trump, a pattern by the North Koreans. You know, I've seen the imagery or heard the discussion more and more. They are Lucy holding the football. The United States is Charlie Brown. And every time we run up to kick the football, they pull the ball back. I do not believe and or trust the North Koreans. Full stop, period.
In a letter sent directly to the North Korean leader, President Trump says he feels it is inappropriate at this time to have this meeting because of the, quote, tremendous anger and open hostility Kim has displayed in his recent statements. The president says, quote, for the good of both parties, but to the detriment of the world, the meeting will not take place. The president issues a threat to Kim, writing, you talk about your nuclear capabilities, but ours are so massive and powerful that I pray to God they will never have to be used.
So when the president is talking about the open hostility displayed in your most recent statement, the president is referring to a statement that was released earlier this morning, very early this morning, to the North Korean state-run news agency. And it said this. This is North Korea speaking to the United States. Quote, whether the U.S. will meet us at a meeting room or encounter us at nuclear-to-nuclear showdown is entirely dependent upon the decision and behavior of the United States. Okay. Now, those comments in particular seem to be what set the president off this morning. Now, if you have to back it up a little bit further to really understand why North Korea said that this morning.
What did they wake up to?
You got to go back a couple of days. Okay. And Vice President Mike Pence sat down with Fox News and was talking about North Korea. And, well, he said this.
You know, as the president made clear, you know, this will only end like the Libyan model ended if Kim Jong-un doesn't make a deal.
Some people saw that as a threat.
Well, I think it's more of a fact.
Yeah. Wow. When you talk about...
Do we need to explain Libya model?
All right. So the Libya model is a bit dangerous to go.
Well, if you're on the Libya side of it.
Or if you're on the North Korea
side
of it.
Yeah, exactly. Not dangerous
because
on our side.
Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi agreed to get rid of his nuclear ambitions in exchange for sanction relief.
Yeah, he was welcomed back into the League of Nations. He got invited to all the cool parties again, and his economy wasn't as wrecked as it had been.
Okay, but in a couple of years, Gaddafi was overthrown and killed by rebels backed by Washington.
His body dragged through the streets, and it is now an ISIS stronghold.
So you talk about...
That's a good thing. This is the Libya model. Explain to me how that works out for me.
Right.
So, what am I? Can you, Kim Jong-un, you know, I can only imagine that in many ways they sit around and I don't, it's their fault, sitting around a conference room trying to understand what the hell do you think they meant by any of this? But can you just see the Libya model and researching Libya, North Korea doing this and going, so who are we in the Libya model? Which part are we? So what role do you play in the Libya model? And Kim Jong-un going, I think I'm Gaddafi in the Libya model. And it didn't turn out well for him, pound sand. Not interested. Listen, I think here there's also something going on, and acknowledge that you have to connect the dots here. We recently, Secretary of State Pompeo, went to North Korea and met and had described as high-level discussions and talks in which, and if we'd understand from remarks made after that, that there was a framework to a deal laid out. You give us this, we give you that. Okay, kind of the initial start of here's what we, the United States, would be willing to offer. You get rid of your nuclear program. You do this and the other. Here's what we would do. it appears that Kim Jong-un and the North Koreans took that letter, got on a train, again, because they take trains around there, and went to China and met with President Yi in China and showed him the letter and go, so here's what the Americans are offering. What do you got for me? And China said, we can beat that deal. And so they went back and said, America, pound sand. We got a better deal out of China.
Well, they didn't really say America pound sand. It's now the president who's telling North Korea to pound sand.
But North Korea started talking crazy immediately after that meeting
North
with China.
Always talk
but they
crazy.
Went. They went back to making their threats and this. It's like their whole attitude changed.
Here's a really interesting perspective. Will Ripley is in North Korea right now reporting for CNN.
Oh,
now Will Ripley was with some high-ranking North Korean officials. When they got word, President Trump calling off the deal. Take a listen to this.
Imagine how they're feeling at this moment, given the fact that they just blew up their nuclear site today as a sign, say, of their willingness to denuclearize. They were doing this to make a point, as you mentioned, ahead of the summit in Singapore on June 12th that was scheduled with President Trump, that until literally minutes ago, they thought was still going to happen.
Ripley talked about sitting there in a room with these high-level North Korean officials.
Yeah.
They start getting their phones start ringing, and there's a little bit of chaos. Obviously, they didn't give a public statement at that point in time, but everybody left the room out of confusion. They were caught completely off guard.
No, they didn't
this.
Know about it. Yeah. There's a chance that North Korea and South Korea may still have talks and get together. I just don't think the United States is going to be in the middle of it. The problem is South Korea is basically negotiating against China, and you can make the argument. And I only can make inferences that China was and is uncomfortable with the idea of a Western-friendly, American-friendly North Korea on their border. That as crazy as North Korea is, it's like their attack dog. Do you know what I'm saying? It's their crazy uncle, and they're more comfortable with that than the unknown. And it could be as simple or as complicated as that. But I think to discount the idea that the Chinese are pulling the strings in North Korea, Kim Jong-un doesn't walk away from a deal or a potential deal with the United States unless he had some other deal. So he basically used our talks of a summit and used our initial outreach to get a better deal somewhere else.
What does it mean to us? Where do we go from here? Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Paul Kissinger about that. He's got 20 years experience in the CIA.
He knows.
And he is currently teaching at the Thunderbird School of Global Management right here in Phoenix. So you're not going to want to miss that interview.
Absolutely. That's going to be amazing. The lead brought to you by Burge Ford off the US 60 and Mesa Drive, online at burgeford.com. We'll have that North Korea expert in at 11:30. The NFL passed new rules. The owners got together. They're in Atlanta, I believe. And rules regarding the national anthem. Conduct before, during, and after it, if you will.
Are you ready for football?
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
A lot of people ready for some football. I think of August. I think of preseason. We're getting closer. How are your Steelers going to be this year?
They're going to be all right.
Yeah, my Redskins will suck again. But we are consistent in that that vein. We have new information coming out of the NFL. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, announced yesterday.
The NFL, addressing the controversy over national anthem protests, announcing a new policy. Under the new rules, players may stay in the locker room during the Star Spangled Banner, but if they are on the field, they must stand, or the team could face fines. The rule change coming 2 years after former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick first started kneeling to protest racial inequality and police brutality.
Yeah, and listen, I've been consistent with this all along. I think this is an infringement upon free speech to a certain degree. I think the NFL is going to find out from the players' union that they're unwilling to give up this in return, unless it's for something else. I also agree, and I've had plenty of people I've heard say this, that this is about money and nothing else. The NFL cares about the national anthem and what happens during it as much as they care about beer sales.
Well, that's been my argument all along. It is about the revenue. It is about the money. And when you have the owners of the NFL teams sitting in a room, seeing that viewership for their games are down 20% over the last 2 years. They're looking at this going, well, how can we stop the bloodletting on the revenue? What do we need to do? And they take this step. Now, is it the right step? I don't know. Frankly, I think that what the NFL did by making this declarative statement yesterday is they actually prolonged the story. Because here we are talking about it again.
Well, and then when football starts, we're going to find out what happens, right?
And we're going to continue to talk about it. If they would have ignored it from the beginning, would any of it have changed? I don't know. But you have people like my dad who boycotted the NFL last year because of the kneeling. And then they're trying to get people like my dad back to watch the football games. Now, I think that might also be a little bit misguided because it wasn't just old white guys like my dad that stopped watching football because of this. I think you had a lot of African-Americans that stopped watching the NFL games.
For the opposite reason.
What are you doing to get them back? See, this is a very complicated situation, and I know that people try to make it black and white, and I don't mean it in that context, but I mean it as in like a right versus wrong, and it's not. I see both sides of this argument. I can argue both sides of it. What is a reasonable way to handle this? I haven't figured that out yet.
I think the problem I have is the lack of consistency. And if you want to make this a right versus left argument, and even I think that's unfair in some ways.
I don't know if it's right versus left.
I think the problem is Donald Trump has co-opted the argument.
I think it's a right versus wrong. Here's the difference. What you think is right is what somebody else thinks is wrong, and vice versa.
I'm arguing for consistency in what you think is right. Do you believe in free speech? Do you believe in freedom of expression? It's a yes or no question. If the answer is yes, and you are outraged.
Whoa, that was loud.
Outraged, I tell you, when conservatives are shamed on college campuses or run off. When people at, what was it, the guy from Mozilla, there was a guy at Google who was terminated for writing an essay.
Whoa, okay.
Free speech. He was talking about the culture of why there aren't more women engineers, and he was called on the carpet for it. And you're like, what? You can't even talk these days? So if you're outraged at that, and then you're outraged at other people expressing themselves, you just disagree with what they're expressing.
But Bruce,
you're inconsistent.
No,
you're a hypocrite.
I don't think it's inconsistent or a hypocrite. I think we pick and choose, and that's part of
it. I don't.
Well, let me finish my statement first. I think that when you talk about infringing upon somebody's free speech or
freedom of expression, yeah.
Okay, but you know what? That's when it comes to free speech and the First Amendment, that is with government entities.
Agreed.
It's not with private organizations. I can argue both sides of this. And so I will argue that the NFL mandates uniforms. The NFL mandates so much within their contract to play in the NFL. They are a private company.
Agreed.
They can mandate this. Do I like it? No. But they can do it. And it's not necessarily an infringement upon your First Amendment right, because it's not the government doing it.
But it is corporate censorship. It is backed up by corporate punishment that, again, many conservatives, people who claim to be conservative, decry in other areas but are okay with it in the NFL. Again, be consistent. That's fine. If you're against freedom of expression, except in reasons that you agree with, then you're not actually for freedom of expression.
And maybe this is why you and I differ upon this. I don't run everything through a political lens. To me,
no, I run it through a freedom and liberty lens.
No.
Constitutional.
But you keep saying conservative and liberal. And this, to me, it's not just about Donald Trump. And
no, and I didn't say that. No, Donald Trump co-opted this. If you disagree that Donald Trump co-opted this message.
Well, I think he jumped on it, but that's what Donald
Trump
does.
And there isn't one Donald Trump supporter out there who doesn't agree with Donald Trump on this, that they should fire the SOBs.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't see everything through a political lens. There is a gray area in the middle of this. The question, to me, does come down to dollars. It is a money issue. They did not always have the national anthem played before sporting events.
Yeah.
So I think the bigger question, if you want to get out of the politics, if you want to get out of the hypocrisy, if you want to get out of the racial tensions of all of this, which is very difficult to do, but if we wanted to have a different kind of discussion, let's talk about why. Why do we play the national anthem before baseball games, hockey games, football games? We don't do it before concerts.
What does football have to do with patriotism?
Right, here's what football has to do with patriotism. The NFL determined years ago that they could get a huge chunk of change from the U.S. military to sponsor certain aspects, and the NFL sees a revenue
highlighting
stream.
A returning soldier, all these different things, salute to the military. They pay for that.
Exactly, they do. So again, this comes back to dollars and cents.
Again, in the effort of consistency, which I get back to, and I will always defer to freedom, liberty, and choices, I'm assuming that when I go to a Cardinal game, I plan on going to the Redskin game, first game of the season, that during the playing of the anthem, I'm assuming they'll close the bathrooms. All of the concessions will be shut down. They won't sell beer or hot dogs during that time because they want to be properly reverent. You know, I mean, they take it so seriously that everybody in the stadium will be forced to adhere to this new policy.
And then when you take a look at it from even like an NHL perspective, the number of players that play hockey who aren't even Americans, a lot of them are Canadian.
Should the cameramen at the NFL games turn their cameras off and stand at attention and put their hands over their heart? Why are they allowed to be disrespectful?
You want to chime in on this? We'd love to hear from you. 602-200-2733. It's the open mic line. It's brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. It's open 24/7. We'll give you 24 seconds to sound off. 602-200-2733.
Mandatory patriotism? It's not patriotism. It's not what it is. Maybe you've heard about the Netflix series, 13 Reasons Why. Well, season 2 is starting. It focuses on bullying, sexual assault, and suicide in a high school. We're going to talk to some guests about how that show is leading to conversations in schools today and around some dinner tables. That's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Maybe you watched the first season of 13 Reasons Why, the Netflix series focused on a fictional high school that has its share of controversies, to say the least, from sexual assault and rape to bullying to a suicide.
One suicide and another attempted suicide. And it follows the story of Hannah Baker, a young lady in high school who, before committing suicide, went and made 13 audio tapes of the people she blames for her decision to commit suicide. Now, the first season created tremendous amount of controversy, and I get why, because a lot of people believe as though it glorified suicide.
Well, it came across like a tutorial almost on how to do it.
Without any kind of proper content warning, it didn't really equip students who may have identified really personally with what was going on the screen.
Really saw themselves in it.
It didn't give them an opportunity. Like, if they look and go, okay, yeah, that's me, or wow, I'm feeling some things that I don't know how to handle, what to do. It didn't tell them what to do. And it also didn't educate parents, because this isn't a topic that most parents even consider talking about. It's hard.
I think that the creators of the show, season one, 13 Reasons Why, were unprepared for the way that people reacted to it, especially teens, parents, like you said, that people really made it very personal. And this season, the new season, which is out, just came out this
recently, weekend.
Yeah. I think they're going to great lengths to address it this time.
You say great lengths. I mean, when the opening portion of the first episode, season two, starts with some of the characters talking about if you feel a certain way.
The actors,
you call.
Yeah,
exactly. And the second season dives into a couple of different issues. Take a listen.
You don't know what was happening in this photo. You don't know what happened after.
We're all in this together now.
Don't you know about what goes on at this school?
This is proof of who they all are.
The truth doesn't always make things right.
It's gonna keep happening. It doesn't stop.
There is nothing left worth having except justice for our daughter.
So that is the trailer for seasons 2. season 2 of 13 Reasons Why available on Netflix. And with the first season creating so much controversy, we spent a considerable amount of time on this show diving into the topic and the subject matter. And I found a really interesting event coming up here this weekend in the Valley.
Ooh.
On Saturday, there is going to be a 13 Reasons Why watch party and discussion. Uh-huh. Now, this watch party is going to be put on by Teen Lifeline here in the Valley. And it's going to be this open forum for both parents and educators, because we need to learn how to talk to our kids about this, not only about suicide, but about bullying, about how women are objectified and all of those topics. And I'm going to tell you, even as a mom who is really engaged and passionate about these things, I struggle with it. So
oh,
I think
sure.
we can all learn from it. So joining us in studio right now are two of the individuals who are going to be there on Saturday, helping parents, helping educators navigate through this very difficult topic. So I want to welcome to the show right now Nikki Kontz. Now, Nikki is the clinical director at Teen Lifeline, as well as Matilda. Now, Matilda, congratulations, just graduated high school.
Shout out.
And is a peer counselor at Teen Lifeline. And you both are going to be there on Saturday, but I don't want to assume that everybody listening right now knows exactly what Teen Lifeline is and what they do. So will one of you ladies please help explain that to our audience?
So Teen Lifeline is a suicide prevention hotline and crisis line where teens can call in and they're talking to teens. And so this gives a really unique perspective. Sometimes it can be really overwhelming when someone calls in, especially with an issue so personal. And so when it can be about something that got sent over Snapchat, you know, they don't have to take the time to explain to an adult what that is. Like, we know exactly what they're talking about. And it also, it's really brave. I don't think people give our callers enough credit sometimes. They're calling someone they don't know because they really don't feel like there's a lot of hope out there. And it's really amazing when they call us in, and we always say thank you and for how brave they're being.
Obviously. And Matilda, you are smack dab in the middle of it. I don't know if you can tell by looking. It's been a while since Pamela and I were in high school.
Speak for yourself.
Me longer than her. And I can acknowledge that my experience in high school, Santa Rita, go Eagles.
Seneca Valley, go Raiders.
Very different than the 4 years you just spent in high school and just graduating. My frame of reference is a little bit of 13 Reasons Why, is watching this show saying, is it reasonably indicative of what's going on? I realize it's exaggerated for theatrical effect, but is this what's going on in high schools? Is this the vibe?
I think it just depends on the group you're in. I had a unique experience where I went to a school that only had 120 kids for the first start of high school, and then I moved to a large public school. And so within the first 3 years where I was at a small charter school, I really felt left out. I felt like there were only two or three people that I could talk to. No matter how many clubs I was in, there was always this Paradise Valley girl versus like Central Phoenix, and like I could never fit into either. And it kind of left me on the outside, but I was lucky I had Teen Lifeline and could create friends there. And then when I went to Sunny Slope, issues that I didn't really have before, like there were a lot of reports of sexual assault and things like that, they were an issue on campus. And so we actually had to create something called See Something, Say Something. And so issues that I think have always happened in high school have just now been to the surface. And now with Snapchat, people are reporting incidences and sharing them. And one issue, especially that's hurting a lot of teenage girls right now, is sexting, where pictures are getting sent around. And so that's also a really big issue that
addressed
just
in the show as well.
Yeah, that just didn't exist 20 years ago. Right. You know, maybe a Polaroid got passed around, but that was easy to burn or something. That's not possible anymore.
Right.
I love the perspective. And ladies,
a Polaroid to a Snapchat. But yeah, it's a big difference.
Yeah. Wow, I just felt old there. You know what, ladies, though, I want you to stick around. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking to both Nikki Kontz. She is the director, the clinical director at Teen Lifeline. And Matilda, she is a recent high school graduate and a peer counselor at Teen Lifeline. We're talking about the important discussions surrounding 13 Reasons Why. The first season created a lot of controversy. The second season is out recently. It's creating a lot of discussion. They're going to be having a specific discussion this weekend. And ladies, I want to dive into, what advice do you have for parents as this series is out? They may not know that their kid is watching it. it.
Right.
Just how do you arm parents with information and tools to go down this very dark, difficult kind of topic conversation?
Definitely. Nikki and Matilda sticking around with us as we talk not just about 13 Reasons Why, but about how it impacts your child, your school, and parents right here in the Valley. That's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Get breaking news and your favorite KT. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
Even if you're not a fan of or haven't watched the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why, including the new season that just came out, the issue of bullying, sexual assault, self-harm, teen suicide is still an issue for many people, be it a parent, be it a loved one, or be it a student themselves. And this Netflix series 13 Reasons Why delves into all of these issues.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the first season. Now we're diving into the second season that just came out recently, and we think it's a very important topic to discuss. Bruce and I do not shy away from mental health issues on this show, whether it be adults or whether it be kids, because kids struggle with it as well. And so we wanted to have some experts in to help us navigate this topic. So joining us in studio is Nikki Kontz. She is the clinical director of Teen Lifeline here in the Valley, as well as Matilda. She is a peer counselor at Teen Lifeline. And Teen Lifeline helps teens who are struggling with ideas of suicide and a lot of the things that are going on in high schools that we spend a lot of time talking about, but do we really get to the coping skills of it all? Because this weekend, these ladies are going to be part of an event. The event is, why don't you ladies, Nikki, why don't you tell us where this event is taking place to help parents?
We're actually holding an event on Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. It's a watch party at Film Bar in downtown Phoenix. It's specifically for parents and educators, really in a forum for adults, where we're going to watch the first episode of the second season. I'll have some discussion about the first season. And then after we watch that first episode of the second season, we're going to kind of delve into some of the highlighted topics, how parents and educators can talk to kids, connect to kids, what to expect. But then we're also going to be doing weekly Facebook Live chats for the month following, discussing the rest of the episodes of the season and
knowing
the
big
highlights.
A lot of kids are going to be watching it, binge watching it,
correct,
getting up to speed over the next month.
Now, if you're interested in attending the event, we've just tweeted out the information for you at Bruce and Pamela. Highly recommend parents go and engage in this process. But I also recognize it's a holiday weekend.
Yes.
And not all parents can make it. So let's help them out right now, ladies. Parents who know that their children are watching this may not know that their children are watching this,
correct,
may not even be aware of the series or care because they don't have Netflix, but that doesn't mean the topics that are tackled in this series won't apply to your child. So can you please give parents out there some tips, some things to look for, and some ways to help them out?
Right. Well, I think one thing is that parents really need to start asking that question of, have you heard about the series? Tell me about it. Have you seen it? Don't assume that your child hasn't because you don't have Netflix. And also don't assume that because you told them not to, that they haven't. They have friends that have passwords. But I think this is definitely a place where parents kind of need to step back and start having open discussion. And because this is an alarming season for adults, I know that have watched it, it's hard.
It's jarring.
It is. It's very jarring. But the reality of it is while this is definitely a Hollywood version of it, some of these topics are very real to our kids nowadays.
Like what?
Suicide. Thoughts of suicide, just that thoughts of hopelessness.
Well, you say that, and we know there's statistics that back that up.
Right.
That even here, especially in the Valley, and
in
then
the
you
East
talk about
Valley,
the East Valley uniquely, there is an epidemic.
Right. Well, we have seen that there is, we are talking more and more about it in the state, and especially what has gone on in the East Valley over the last year, couple years. But also understand that it's a problem that every state has, and we have it statewide, where teens feel hopeless. They feel helpless. And it's about giving them connection to hope. Now, we can't put the show back in a bottle. We can't put it away. But what we can do as adults is use this as a conversation starter. It's about kind of stepping back. I encourage parents to truly ask to watch this with your kid. Try not to binge watch it or have your kid binge watch it.
It's a lot.
Right. And to ask
them.
There's
a lot to take in.
Ask them, you know, after you watch every episode, if you're not comfortable watching it with me, that's fine. But let's maybe us know that we're both watching it separately and then coming back and let's have some discussion between it and ask those open questions of what's your world like? Is this real? And what maybe would you have done differently in this situation?
You know, there's so many important conversations that need to take place. And so Saturday at Film Bar, you've got this 13 Reasons Why watch party and discussion. I mean, this is the forum with parents and educators learning from teens, from Teen Lifeline and experts about how to have these difficult conversations because I don't know how to have them, but I want to learn how. So we've got that information for you at Bruce and Pamela on our Twitter feed. And ladies, thank you so much
thank
for coming
both.
In and having this conversation for us.
You'd much rather have an uncomfortable conversation today
now
than be sitting around saying, what could I have done differently? Mm-hmm. What could I have done differently? Thank you guys very much. And a great event coming up on Saturday. More details about that fatal Uber crash that happened in Tempe a while back. And it doesn't look good for Uber. We'll talk about it next.